This episode is sponsored by VTech.
On today's podcast, Graham and I are joined by Chuck Lear. We talk about workplace productivity, collaboration. We find out that Graham is going on vacation for weeks on end and not telling anybody, and much, much more. Stay tuned.
Ed's in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
With some old technology that I thought you would appreciate, Velcro.
Okay, cool. Velcro,
were
man.
Were you around when
we're
Velcro
call
was
you,
created?
Of course I was. I invented it. We'll call you Velcro, man. Hi, this is Graham Potter and
David Portnowitz. Welcome to
Heads in the Cloud.
Heads in the Cloud. We are going to be joined today by Chuck Lear of Lear 360. Fascinating individual. Works a lot in the collaboration space, workplace productivity. Just a really good conversation with Chuck about what he does and how he judges workplace productivity and what customers are looking for, and really relevant to what's happening today. I mean, yep. There are so many options that a company can implement for
collaboration
in the UC space.
Yep.
And it's
interesting.
How do you pick the right one? You know, are you actually getting anything out of it? I mean, you can choose these tools. But how are your actual employees using them?
Yeah, we got to measure that. Go back
and
talk to them
afterwards
and
what
they've found out how effective that is. So.
And that's what his company, Lear 360, does. Funny fact about Chuck Leary, not related to the Learjet family.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, found that out. Oh. So tough break for him.
Another bit of research you did. You're a true marketer, you are, don't
you? Yeah, it's part of my half-ass internet research.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's interesting because I was just playing with today the new Google Chat Hangout thing, which is sort of their answer to Slack. Have you seen that at all?
I have not.
It's interesting. I was showing Frederick, who's our producer today, the functionality they have, and they've got bots and they've got groups and rooms and conversations, and it's very, very Slack-esque. But for companies that have Google already, it's a nice tool because you don't have to go out and buy a Slack license. I know Slack is free to some extent, but you know you could use that in place of a Slack. But there's just not as built out.
Right.
There's not as many bots. There's not as many users. It's not ubiquitous yet. But I think over time, as more companies use it, I think you know Google has their foot in the door in a lot of places, so it won't be long before
they got the resource to be able to do that kind of stuff. So,
but it launched it very quietly. Yeah. You know, they put out a release out a few weeks ago, or maybe even a month ago at this point, and then we sort of got access to it without even knowing. And you know, it's interesting. It's just another option out there that companies have to choose from.
Cool.
Does a company want to? Is Google the right choice for some companies? I think. We'll get into that with Chuck a little bit, but you know, how do they compete with the likes of Cisco and Microsoft and Amazon all those places?
The big boys. So yeah, look forward to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And how are you, Graham?
I'm okay, David. I've got to tell our listeners here, David's sporting some stubble.
I always have a beard.
Well, yeah, in varying degrees. I mean, ever since I've known you,
it looks bad today.
Ever since I've known you here, you know, the last kind of weeks or so, it doesn't look like it's grown an awful.
I shaved last night.
Plus, it's bald in places. Well, is that because you kind of miss him with a razor? Or?
Right over here.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I'm not the greatest shaver.
You've got a couple of bald spots. That bit on the chin, is the chin meant to be bald or
not?
No,
the chin is not bald. Stop that.
Okay.
I got a few grays, though. I'm trying to go for your look. Touch of gray.
I haven't got any gray. I got none at all. No gray.
For the listeners out there, my eyes just about rolled out of my head. Imagine that emoji where the eyes are like bulging. That was me.
Emoji man. I'm going to call you that emoji. David emoji.
Did you even know what an emoji is?
No. Tell me. Explain to our listeners. Of course I do, you fool. Anyway, let's get this podcast moving. What's going on?
Okay, whoa.
Let's put you in your place. But I'm doing well, thank you, David. Thank you so much for asking. How about you?
Doing great today. I am on my way down. We're going to have our partner council meeting.
Very nice.
Down in Jamaica. Nice. So I'm looking forward to a nice trip. By the time this podcast comes out, I will have returned from Jamaica, I hope.
Okay. You like reggae music then?
I like all music.
Cool.
Rap, reggae.
I see you as a bit of a rapper with
rock.
Those headphones on. Yeah, rock.
Maybe not country. I'm not a big country music fan. Although I do like Chris Staples. Chris Stapleton, maybe.
Chris Staples. What a classic.
I don't know, man. I'm not.
I would agree, though. Chris Stapleton is awesome. I do like Chris Stapleton. So, yeah, I'll give you that. But I've never heard of Chris Staples.
Chris Staples is, again, not related to the Learjet family. Maybe he's related to the Staples family.
Why don't you quit while you're ahead? That's kind of...
Peel back the sausage.
All right.
So, should we start our interview with Chuck?
Yeah, should we see if we can dial him up?
Dial him up. Can Les, we... dial him up. Our guest today on Heads in the Cloud is Chuck Lear. Chuck is the founder and managing partner of Lear 360, and you can find his work at Lear360.com. Chuck, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Great to be here. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Where are you coming from today? Where are you at, Chuck?
Yeah. Tell us where you are.
Today I'm actually on a client site in Boston.
Oh.
But normally I'm on the West Coast, either in East Bay or Southern California.
Beautiful. So how's the weather in Boston today?
Rainy. Very, very rainy.
Yeah, bit like a couple of weeks ago with the Boston Marathon. Mm. With first time I've ever seen elite runners lining up wearing hats, gloves, jackets, yeah, and everything. So incredible.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, Chuck, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, sort of your, what you do, what is Lear 360, sort of, you know, give our listeners a little bit of information on your background.
Sure. Lear 360 is a consulting and advisory firm and also a program management firm. We specialize really in collaboration or modern workplace productivity solutions for corporations. We look at, you know, everything from how they use their voice and video services or what they have or don't have, how they do file sharing, both at, you know, team and project level. So, you know, we help kind of guide them through the maze of, you know, products like Slack and SharePoint and Cisco Spark, Cisco Teams now, I think it's referred to, HipChat. So we look at the entire way a company wants to work, what their culture is, and then we look at the tools that they have available or we recommend tools that they could use. And then after we assist them with the deployment, generally we leave that up to their in-house or their existing IT partners. And then we also work heavily on user adoption and business process changes, you know, how to educate people on how to use these tools more effectively and change, you know, their habit of, you know, attaching an email or, you know, always leaving a voicemail to call somebody versus, you know, doing a quick instant message to see if they're available.
Nice. So that does that take you all over the U.S.? Are you sort of pretty much
all over the U.S. and multinational? So a lot of our experience and my experience is with you know, the biotech firms and multimedia or media and entertainment firms out of Los Angeles that have, you know, strong presences in the U.K. and in Europe, India, given where a lot of, you know, companies are outsourcing different services too. So we generally work around the world, picking up more activity lately with Southeast Asia.
Okay, interesting. Have you actually been across to India on a business trip?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, it's an interesting culture. One of my favorite cuisines in the whole world. And I spent quite a bit of time out there many years ago in my Rockwell days in. Obviously in Mumbai, where everybody kind of flies into, but Pune as well. We had a development organization out there. So fascinating to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
And fascinating also to see the such a diverse culture in the country. So interesting. So whereabouts did you go?
I was in Delhi most of the time. Okay. And Bangalore.
Right.
A lot of the interesting thing you mentioned is interesting is culture, and that's, you know, a huge part of collaboration and communications is, you know, how do people really want to work together and, you know, how do you know that you're communicating with them in a way that they're actually aligning with you and just not agreeing or disagreeing?
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of these tools, you know, come into play and issues that we help companies with.
Yeah, so that's interesting because you're talking about, you know, workplace productivity. How do you manage that when you have companies that are multinational and sort of work through different working styles and different cultures. And, you know, does that make the challenge more fun? Does it make it harder? You know, what are the elements you have to think about when you're dealing with like a company that has an office here, an office in Europe or in Asia or in India?
Right. What we're starting to see more and more is that, you know, a professional or a knowledge worker in one location compared to a knowledge worker in another location that are, you know, subject matter experts or they're in the same industry or field, they generally work together well. If you enable the tools to allow them to work together well, then, you know, it's a win-win. Where we find things that are, you know, that are actually more destructive is kind of the organizational culture of the company. If they're highly competitive between their sites, if they don't really operate or think as one company, or that one company that supports the customer, they think of it as, you know, this region supports their customers only, then, you know, these tools get a little less effective because the predisposed, you know, thinking of the employee is, you know, I really just take care of my area. But if you, you know, we find that companies that have a much broader culture and a much broader understanding that, you know, we're one company regardless where we are, who has a, you know, who services our customers regardless where they are, that the platforms are much more successful and, you know, the adoption is much faster because they're open and focused on serving the customer or, you know, finding the right solution. They're not necessarily just focused on serving their customer in their region.
So when you're going into these companies, are you coming in with a preconceived notion of the kinds of technology you want
expect to use?
Or is it more of a, let me see what you guys are doing and then we'll make some recommendations? Or how does that process work?
It's generally three prongs. We look at, you know, what they're doing today, you know, and what tools they're using and you know, did they feel they're effective? And more importantly, you know, we try to interview as many end users as we can to see if they feel they're effective. You know, where IT may have a very different, very different understandings of what's effective and being used correctly in the field. They don't necessarily always talk to their end users that closely. The other piece we look at is the culture. And we talk a lot with, you know, the leadership of the company to find out what are they trying to achieve. You know, if the leaders of the company aren't really focused on, you know, creating an environment that's trusting and, you know, wants to share information and, you know, everyone's kind of rowing in the same direction, but they're treating it as separate, you know, boats that are rowing in similar directions, then, you know, it's much more of a struggle. So we look at, you know, what's in place, how it's being used, what the leadership philosophy is or what the leadership is trying to achieve. And then the other piece we look at is, you know, what technologies do they already have? You know, we go into a lot of organizations that have, you know, two or three vendors, and due to the way they've purchased, you know, an enterprise solution or an all-use CAL or an all-use license, you know, they have three instant messaging platforms.
Yeah.
They have, you know, two file sharing platforms and, you know, different things like that. And, you know, they've never really deployed one, or they've deployed both, you know, and they're just kind of out there flailing. So we, you know, try and take a look at, you know, what do they have? What do they need? What's the culture like? And what is the, you know, what's the leadership of the company trying to achieve? Because, you know, we're, in our opinion, office productivity or unified communications is really our tools that enable a culture that, you know, that wants to work together and sees the effectiveness when they work together.
It's interesting because the recent Enterprise Connect show, I'm not sure if you were there in Orlando. I know a lot of my friends and folks that we deal with from an analyst perspective were there. Huge emphasis on contact center, artificial intelligence and bots, that type of thing. But the other really big area was collaboration, and obviously a lot of input from people like Microsoft with Teams and Slack. Were you at that show, Chuck?
I wasn't. I've spoken to many who spoke there or had attended it. I had the opportunity to go to Milan and Dublin.
So, very nice.
I chose Milan and Dublin and
over Dublin. Orlando? Are you kidding me? Orlando's a beautiful
over
place.
Orlando. I mean, you know, the mosquitoes will be there next time.
So, how do you judge, or at the end of the day, how does a company judge if productivity has increased? I mean, it's a hard, it's you know, in one sense, it's easy, right? You know, okay, you know, are, you know, there are certain things you can look at, but I feel like it's kind of subjective. Is there, do you have like measurements that you take a look at the beginning and then at the end, or at the middle and at the end, and sort of like judge on how effective the implementation has been?
We do. You know, we do have some that are very quantified things around, you know, we look at, you know, where are they storing data now? You know, if it's a company that says, oh, we have these file sharing systems and everyone uses them, but, you know, all of their mailboxes are, you know, 20 gigabytes, then there's a good idea that most of their files are being shared in their email system, not in their file system. So we look at some things like that are very, you know, scans, and we look at where documents and where data is being stored in the company. The other piece we look at and we talk about is in the beginning, through those end-user interviews, you know, really where are their pain points? You know, what would be nice if you could do this? You know, explain to me how this could, you know, you would really like to see something work, you know, more effectively or, you know, differently. And then we follow up with, you know, a series of, you know, small surveys. We don't like to do big, small surveys. We don't like to do big, you know, giant opinion surveys.
Mm-hmm.
Really just doing kind of a live polling. You know, the question of the, you know, this week might be, you know, how much time do you spend on, you know, in this application, you know, Microsoft Teams or Slack, where, you know, before they were spending no time in it. So we find out that they're spending, a, you know, a good part of their day there. You know, how much time do you feel that, you know, these applications are saving you, you know, based on how it was, you know, just a few months ago.
Interesting.
And then we also look at, you know, what are some of the comments? So we generally try to give them a, you know, a series of drop downs or clicks to, you know, at least let us be able to graph and report. But we also are very interested in their verbatim comments, because that's where we start to see that, you know, where the applications have really helped end users. You know, we also like to, you know, we ask, you know, do you feel that, you know, since we've deployed a Slack or Teams environment, is the amount of time that you spend in email decreased? And then we also look at, you know, you feel that, you know, you're able to support the customer or support your customer more effectively now that we have these tools.
So,
We ask how.
Okay, cool. So I was going to switch gears just briefly here and talk a little bit about some of the industry trends. And this is almost like a weekly, certainly a monthly trend that's occurring now with a lot of companies acquiring companies, so that the market seems to be kind of collapsing down into some of the really big names that we know out there. And obviously we've had the recent announcement with Plantronics' intent to acquire Polycom. Polycom is a partner of Star2Star, done a lot of work with those guys over the years, and know a lot of people there, and equally at Plantronics as well. And then yesterday the announcement went out with a bid to acquire Mitel, which is interesting because if you think of the history back to Mitel trying to acquire Polycom way back when, Mitel being acquired for $2 billion by Rackspace investor Searchlight. So another very interesting potential consolidation in the marketplace. If you have any thoughts about that for our kind of listeners?
I think the Plantronics Polycom Mitel conversation is very interesting. It's very much the, you know, the tail wagging the dog. Who would have thought the headset company would end up buying the phone and end up buying the, you know, the Switch? I don't know if many people saw that one coming, but you know, there is a great deal of consolidation in the market, and you know, people are trying to grab as much of the enterprise footprint as they can, and also making it, you know, harder and harder to move away from them. You know, Polycom has been, you know, also very effective with, you know, Microsoft and many of the other, you know, Vantage and many other hosted phone systems that are in the world. So it should be an interesting change to see, you know, how those companies also react, who were vendors or customers of Polycom, and now will they feel, you know, somewhat of a competitive issue working with if Mitel and Plantronics come together and start offering a solution.
It's also interesting when you look at the Cisco BroadSoft piece as well, because, you know, a lot of those solutions, and we're not one of them, but a lot of the, you know, the hosted solutions out there are primarily, you know, driven by a BroadSoft solution. And a lot of those endpoint manufacturers are providing endpoints to that solution. And now you've got Cisco having acquired BroadSoft, and obviously Cisco are an endpoint provider as well as. So really interesting watching all of this kind of move around, and now seeing the other elements appear here with the Plantronics Polycom piece. So just a fascinating time in the marketplace. We watch it with a lot of intent, really, just to see what's going to shake down out of this, and obviously know a lot of people in those organizations over the years. So fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I think Cisco's a very interesting organization, and they've definitely gone through a lot of changes the last 5 or 6 years, and they've struggled with
cloud.
Getting customer adoption beyond their WebEx and phone platform. The Cisco's Spark Teams conversation is struggling at best. There's other vendors in the enterprise space that are definitely moving forward in that space, and Cisco continues to struggle. I do see where Cisco, I think, is going to always have a play in the industry is in the highly encrypted or the government medical space, where people want those types of hardened environments for regulation purposes or for special security purposes, where others in the space, Microsoft and Vonage, Ring Central, and others are going to be coming in yourselves, will be making a much bigger play outside of that. But Cisco is going to find itself getting into the smaller and smaller and highly specialized and kind of a very hardened environments where they are going to be most successful, and they're going to be price prohibitive in other places.
Has there been when you go out to these customer sites, has there been a baseline of applications or features that these customers are really interested in, and how has that possibly changed over the last year or two? I mean, what are their expectations for what their technology should and shouldn't do?
The biggest change that I've seen, and most recently is being able to control it and govern it effectively. IT organizations, HR organizations, legal departments are afraid of kind of just tossing these tools out and letting them become, kind of unmanaged and unwieldy as far as the content that's on them. Where, most employees are beginning to, these are consumer technologies that are coming in, instant messaging, persistent chat, video chat, those are becoming more and more comfortable on the consumer side. And, people are becoming more and more comfortable on the business side with them. But I think a lot of the fear is around, is this thing going to grow so far out of control that, we can't manage it, or we don't know what's in it any longer. So it's looking to, the enterprise solution providers to provide, those kind of governing and monitoring tools that, an enterprise needs without inhibiting the end users from using it. So those are, that's one of the biggest things I've seen kind of coming out lately is, IT they're hesitant at times to deploy things because they think it's a lot of their stuff is good enough already.
Right.
But end users are pushing it. But the other, realistic fear that I'm seeing out there is that people are concerned about, how do we rightfully govern these, especially as, data laws are coming much more sensitive with GDPR, with, social norms and other activities are going on with, what's appropriate and inappropriate. The companies have always been very good at, I think knowing what's appropriate and inappropriate for the most part. But, how do they stay on top of that proactively? Through content monitoring or, content watching and filtering so that they're notified when something pops up out there that they need to be aware of.
How does Google fit into this equation in some situations? Are you implementing, full Google application, deployments at customer sites how do they view Google in this space from both a voice side, chat? I mean, Google is trying to get in every single space. I mean, they just launched this Hangout Chat, which is basically their version of Slack. I mean, they've got a lot of stuff going on so I'm just trying to understand, do you see that? Are customers asking for that?
Not as much. I mean, there are people who love Google and they're all Google, all the time. It used to be a much more cost-effective platform compared to Microsoft Office 365, but in my opinion, what I've seen is price parity and feature parity are pretty close right now. The other thing that I've seen that, you know, that it's kind of the wait and see a little bit is, I think Amazon is the one that is going to be the dark horse that's going to take over what Google thought they had at the desktop enterprise side, because you look at AWS, you look at their workspaces where you can bring up a, you know, a Windows 10, you know, VM, you know, virtual or VDI with hardly, you know, any problems at all. So you've got your complete virtual desktop. You've got to bring your own, you know, BYOD strategy where, you know, I don't care what laptop you have or what computer you have, you log into your virtual desktop that's running in an Amazon, you know, data center that we all like. You have, you know, Amazon Chime and, you know, some of the other voice services that are coming out.
But is Amazon, is anybody using Amazon Chime? I
think there's people that are experimenting with it, and I think it's taking off in smaller markets, but its connection to the Microsoft Office suite and the ability to do, you know, a VDI as a, basically a monthly expense, I think is a very, very attractive model.
Well, anything to not use Skype or Teams or whatever, because their voice, that's a different topic.
I think it's a very attractive model for some people, but AWS has, you know, built a lot of confidence with enterprise customers.
Sure.
I still think Google struggles sometimes for enterprise customers to accept them, because, you know, the world, you know, Amazon got in there first, especially in the server side, even though Google's coming along. But, most IT, enterprise IT groups are pretty comfortable with AWS or pretty comfortable with Azure. You know, if you're a Windows shop or, you know, a Microsoft shop by nature, you're probably not out trying to figure out how to port your apps over to the Google's platforms. You're more interested in how to get them ported over properly to either AWS or Azure, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
So, Chuck, I've been looking at some of the information that our producer Fred put together, and from an educational point of view, I see you have a BA in communication, but interestingly as well, a BA in film production, and just wonder what the story is there, whether that's kind of a passion for you or something that you're involved in actively. Why don't you tell us about that?
I'm not active anymore. It's always been a passion, but no, I started out my career in film and television production as a audio engineer, a video editor, and then happened to do that at the corporate level for a large national insurance company in the Midwest. And through corporate, you know, moving up the corporate ladder, I got more involved into the corporate communications department. So built out my skills as a kind of a communication expert, communication consultant. Went back for my master's, and then from there I was assigned at times the IT group as my client.
Oh, wow.
I was their basically business partner to help them with employee adoption, organizational change, and communication. And the more and more time I spent in IT, I realized the less and less that IT people know how to talk to business people. and end users, and I basically made that, you know, my career for the last the last third or half of my career has really been the being kind of the liaison or the interface between what is the business and what are end users really trying to do, and how can IT achieve that?
Nice.
Or enable that to happen.
Graham's always he's always interested in film because his daughter is in the industry.
No, I just found that fascinating. That kind of jumped off the place.
I worked for Technicolor.
That's kind
of
cool.
Aware of that, and
yeah, interesting industry.
The largest media talent agencies out in Los Angeles for a couple of years.
Wow.
In LA, it's hard not to work in the media and entertainment industry.
Yeah, that's where my
40-year career.
Where my daughter's kind of based out of that area. Not that she spends much time in there, because she's usually around about all over the country on different shoots. So it's just a fascinating.
Very good.
Fascinating subject.
No, it's a great industry, and I was on the production side of it, and then started to get into other parts of it through working for a large corporation.
Cool. So we've taken up far too much of your time. It's been great talking to you, but it's Davey's got one last question that he always likes to put to people that we interview, and it's real easy going, lighthearted. So,
Chuck, we always like to ask our guests, do you have any pets at home?
Do I have any pets? I have two labs.
Wait.
Cocoa and Bella.
Science labs or dogs?
Chocolate labs.
Oh, okay. Chocolates, yeah. I love chocolate labs. I had one for years in Chicago when we first came out and came with us to Florida. But yeah, what a wonderful dog.
What are their names?
Coco is the 5-year-old chocolate and Bella is a 14-year-old yellow lab.
Oh, awesome. Wow. Awesome. Graham, you have a vanilla lab now, don't you?
I don't have any labs anymore. I have an aging, completely deaf Boston Terrier.
Oh.
Whose name's Buster, who's just recently come through a round, touch wood, successfully of chemotherapy. And he's a gnarly, gnarly little chap. But, he's a little bit like his owner. He's deaf and he's getting on in years. But wonderful to hear that.
He's a little surly.
But, yes.
Our yellow lab is losing her hearing also. What part of Chicago were you in?
We lived in the western suburbs for about 9 years in the Wheaton, Warrenville, Naperville area.
Okay.
And
St. Charles, Wheaton.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, my president of the company, Terry Murphy, at the time lived in St. Charles, and we spent quite a bit of time there. But it's when I first came over to the U.S. in 98, and I was heading up Rockwell's international support and service. So we love the area. We love the city. You know, we used to get down there quite a lot, and the kids were educated there. In fact, my eldest daughter, the one we were talking about in film, went to the Art Institute for 4 years. Kept us poor for 4 years. So,
so you've been here now. I didn't realize this was your 20th anniversary year.
20 years.
20 years.
And I've been accepted. Well, I think I've been accepted.
No, you're sending you back. We're sending you back to Brexit.
Oh, no.
Still on probation.
Still on probation. Yeah, I always say to people when I stand up and talk that, you know, people look at me with the accent and I say, yeah, you wouldn't recognize this from the south side of Chicago. And they always look at me a little old-fashioned. And it's a great way to start off a conversation. But have you spent time there, Chuck, or from there?
Yeah, I grew up there for the most part. I considered home. I grew up in Arlington Heights and kind of on the northwest border where you were kind of straight west.
Okay. Where was the other place? Crystal Lake?
Crystal Lake, which is about out as far as St. Charles, Northwest Highway.
I was
14.
Having lunch here in Florida with a gentleman who was the VP of HR at Rockwell, and he comes from Crystal Lake. So, yeah, I know the area as well. So, awesome. That's great. Fabulous.
Yep.
All righty.
Columbia College, just down the street from the
area. Oh,
I know that. Oh,
of course. Columbia College, yeah. Well, it's great to chat with you, Chuck.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate your time. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
This episode is sponsored by VTech. When you choose Star2Star and VTech for your communication needs, you get more than just a phone system. You're building a relationship with two telecommunications market leaders. No matter what your communication needs, VTech offers a comprehensive and diverse portfolio of desktop, mobility, and conference devices that scale from small offices to enterprise-level corporations. Peace of mind is important to you, and that's why VTech supports your business and Star2Star with North America-based support professionals that truly understand your market to give you the support you need. To learn more about partnering with Star2Star and VTech, visit star2star.com and vtechphones.com.
You're all right. You want some water?
Still got a little cough from the end of the conversation.
Would you like a cup of water? I think we're losing him. We're losing him.
I would, but you know, I would prefer a Zephyr Hills, this Dasani water.
Yeah.
Doesn't cut it for Coke
you.
Water, I don't know about that.
Doesn't cut it for
the
you.
The friends at Zephyr Hills, they could be a sponsor, Zephyr Hills.
Yeah.
We would love to get some.
Get plenty of water sent to you.
Yeah, okay. I'd love to.
Oh, look at me, water. God, water.
Water.
Yeah, water.
That's like a Chicago thing.
Yeah,
give me some water.
Water.
Is that Chicago or is that New York? That's New York. I don't know accents. Alan can do Graham's accent. Hello, Graham Potter. See, I could do this whole podcast as Graham Potter. You'd never know.
Oh, dear.
Well, that was a good conversation with Chuck. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it's quite interesting getting in. Certainly a lot of the stuff on Teams I thought was really, really interesting. And actually found a bit about him from an educational point of view. His BA in film production. So who knows when you talk to folks. And also the pet challenge at the end. We got a couple of Labradors.
Oh,
one
yes,
chocolate
good.
And one
vanilla.
One gold one.
No, not a vanilla. Why isn't there a vanilla lab?
I don't know. Maybe you should come up with one. Mm. You know. Mm. Mm. As a dog, as a non-dog person, so
maybe as a foray into owning a dog, I'll get the first vanilla lab.
Might be worth money then. Like, you imagine that. So anyway, moving off that subject before you get yourself.
You're the one who brought up the dogs.
You get yourself in the weeds, but yeah, that was good talking to me. I had a chance to talk a little bit about the market consolidation as well. Which is always fascinating. Mitel,
who last year bought ShoreTel, right? And then this year gets bought by an investment group going private.
Yeah, Searchlight.
Big investor in Rackspace.
Yeah.
Just interesting turn of events
mm-hmm.
from that happened. But honestly, you can't predict any of this. It's so hard to see any of this. I mean, all you can predict is that things are going to change. You don't really know in what way.
Like a game of chess.
Yeah.
Like a game of chess.
It's ever evolving, and I, you know, it won't be the last one, maybe the last one in April, but maybe not the last one in the next couple of months. I mean, who knows? It's continuing. By the time we roll around into summer, we might have all sorts of new things.
Who knows? Who knows?
I don't know.
You got a crystal ball, you'd never, you know, maybe you could foresee some of this stuff, but... You know, you wake up every morning and all of a sudden there's some huge new headline and things have all moved, all the chess pieces have moved around the board again.
Yes.
So there you go. Anyway.
How's your daughter doing out in the film industry?
Doing real well. I spoke to her. Well, I didn't speak to her. I haven't spoken to her in absolutely ages. We get very rare
Maybe
opportunity.
I've hit a sore subject here.
Well, no, because she's so...
Is she on set somewhere?
Down, she's on set.
Can you tell us where or is it a secret?
I can tell you she's in Arkansas.
Ooh.
And I can tell you she's been there for several months and probably going to be there until July, August on a very large series, very well-known series that she's recording, working with people. But yeah, very, very busy.
She's working with people.
She's working with people. And we swapped a couple of text messages and that was it. So, you know, Christmas time's the time we really usually all meet up.
Yeah. Holidays.
Look forward to that, yeah.
Well, I look forward to seeing the series that she's working on or show that she's or movie.
Yeah.
Who knows? Series. Is she in the Ozarks?
No, she's actually in Fayetteville. Fayetteville.
Yeah, Fayetteville. Yeah. That's how we pronounce it here in the
States. Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Walmart City, I believe. You know,
I didn't think Walmart was in Fayetteville.
They are.
I thought they were someplace else. I thought they were
No.
We need a fact checker.
Okay. We've got to check you out.
After the podcast, we should have a fact check.
Okay. So what have you been up to? Anything different at all, David? Any news?
No.
Any new news?
No.
No?
Nothing.
Same old?
I'm not going to share anything with you.
Okay. No, you're going to one of those days. Well, you better get off. You've got some traveling to do. That's your suitcase over there, booked, ready to go. I noticed you left some of your shirts out on the table. Oh, it's a heads in the cloud.
Heads in the cloud. I got to make sure I have that.
Whoa.
If I wear that in Jamaica, people will be like, hey, man. Where did you get that shirt, man?
Yeah, you could buy it. Hey, do you want me to autograph that one before you go?
No. Oh. All right, here's our fact check. It's in Bentonville.
Oh, okay.
Walmart, not Fayetteville.
Oh, it's fairly near.
What's the distance between Fayetteville and Bentonville? We need a Google. We need a Google Home or an Amazon Echo. If you're out there, Amazon or Google, please send one.
We got a whole team of people researching this stuff behind us here. It's incredible.
But they're too slow.
Here we go.
30 minutes.
It's only 30 minutes away. There you go.
Short hop.
A short hop, skip, and a jump.
I wonder how many Walmarts there are between Bentonville and Fayetteville. Seven, I would think.
So are we going to try and get those facts out as well?
No.
No, we failed.
This is the kind of thing we need.
Failed on that.
We need to have a Google Home. It could be our third podcaster. Just give it a microphone. Ask it questions. During the interview, you and I just like sit back and just say, Okay, Google. Interview.
I told you. Chuck. I told you the other day I was in the car driving my wife and I had the two things going. It freaked me out. It's like I started asking it and then both phones went off together. That was kind of cool.
Frederick, as a producer of the show, will you make sure we have next time we have a Google Home to do an interview?
Absolutely.
And an Alexa. Amazon. Echo.
Okay.
Alexa. Oh, perfect. Did you order it with the Amazon Alexa? Like, Alexa, order an Alexa.
Honestly, I did it with Siri.
So got to tell
Siri
you
would never be able to understand that.
I'm off to Italy in a week or so's
Italy.
Time, and so I'm going to use my Google Translate and do that with. And it's actually pretty cool now because you can hold a conversation with it and go backwards and forwards. So
I didn't know you were going to Italy.
I've been practicing. So,
who's going to host the podcast with me if you're in Italy?
I don't know. I'll do it from Maranello, driving a Ferrari if you like. So that's what I'm.
Are you renting a Ferrari in Italy?
I'm not disclosing any of that. So.
Maybe a Maserati.
I will be renting something nice, but
a Fiat.
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to think of other Italian cars that I'd know. Oh, a Peugeot, okay. That's French.
How about a Lamborghini?
Last time I was in Italy, though, the car I had was a Peugeot. It was a nice car, though.
It's French. Why would you have a French car in Italy?
Because it was automatic, and I don't drive a stick, and they didn't have any When you're in Italy and you ask for an automatic, there's not a lot of options.
Ordered a stick shift. Gotta be done.
Are you just going with your wife, or is it a whole family trip?
I'm out there, but we're going to a wedding primarily. We're flying into Rome and then going on to onto a wedding for a few days, staying in a beautiful place, and then we're going on to stay in another location with family for a period of time, and then back to Rome for a few days.
So how long are you going to be gone?
A couple of weeks.
This is jarring.
Outrageous.
As a podcast host.
Jaw dropping.
To know that my co-host is leaving for 2 weeks and didn't bother to tell anybody.
Actually, we could do one.
I'm bewildered.
We could do one remotely. How about that?
No, because you're going to be with like wine and grapes.
Yeah, Montepulciano. I'm going to be very near there, actually.
Montepulciano?
So, yeah.
Montalcino. Now, listen, if you go to Montalcino, get a Brunello.
Okay.
The best wine.
All right.
I love. Actually, better remember. Bring me back a bottle of Brunello. That's not a joke. I'd like to have a bottle of Brunello.
Oh, okay. Bring me back.
Yeah. I'll give you a couple euros.
Okay.
Have you got your euros ready? They don't take pounds there. I know that might be offensive to you.
Dang. What am I going to do?
Wow, I'm jealous. I love Italy.
Yeah, good.
You're going to have a great time.
You should see the
or
place.
A terrible time.
You should see the place we're staying in. I'll show you after. Incredible. Fantastic. But yeah, it's going to be good. Good to see the family. Some family that we haven't seen for quite a while. So
this is your Italian, that's going to be so Italian
much.
Family?
No. This is our Brit family.
Ooh.
A mob.
A mob. Not the mob, but a mob.
Anyway, we don't want to bore our listeners with
this. This is a great conversation. They're enjoying this, trust me.
I'm away.
Well, I can't believe you're going on vacation without telling me.
Well, you're going. You're going to Jamaica.
Yeah, but that's like 3 days. You're going for 2 weeks.
Bye.
And on that note. We'll see you next time, or maybe never, because this podcast might end now that Graham is leaving.
Or the next podcast may come from Maranello with me driving a shiny red Ferrari. Who knows? But he is.
David Portnowitz.
And I am Graham. And this is.
Heads in the club.